Matthew chapter 25. This is a chapter that has three parables in it. And Christ is teaching a lesson in all three of them. And I think they're based on the promise of his return. Like this morning, I just like to look, at the first one here. We'll read that one and 25, Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now there's a big contrast between the first appearance of Jesus and his second coming. You know, his first appearance was in obscurity. He came as a babe. He came, was born in a, let's say, a lowly family. He was, his cradle was a manger. He was, there was a lot of, on their, his family were, they were poor. What they brought to our trial, we're going to fail. We'll find ourselves without oil. But if we have Christ with his divine fullness, you know, we can draw for him, from him in any situation we may face. And midnight came here, and it brought a great commotion. They were all sleeping and waiting, watching till they would meet the bridegroom. You know, life is full of emergencies. If we're not prepared, sometimes there's no time to get ready. You know, when you school children have a surprise test or a quiz, you know, it's generally your teacher's checking to see if you are learning, if you're retaining what you're, if you're really learning, or if you're just doing these and going out, doing these things and not, it's not sinking in. But, you know, if you take your lessons home and you have your older siblings, if you make a deal and they do your lessons for you while you sweep the floor or do their dishes or feed their calves or whatever, you might be getting good grades in school. Things are going fine. But all of a sudden the teacher hands out a quiz and you can't. Your older sibling's not there to help you. Your parents are there to help you. You're on your own. You wish you would have studied. You wish you would have paid attention to those lessons. But it's too late. There you are. You have to fill it out, and it's you're not ready. You'll find yourself in trouble. You're not prepared. You know, they can't help you do the test. They can't share that knowledge with you if they're not there with you. In this situation, this is how the five foolish virgins found themselves, unprepared. This was a real test, and there was no time to change. It was too late. Opportunity was gone. It had fled. Their lamps had gone out, and there was nothing to refill them with. They found themselves in desperate straits, and their comrades that may have previously tried to help them were unable to help them. They couldn't do anything about it at this time. You know, as Christians, we're called to help each other, you know, to be Christ's hands, to be his feet. Jesus says, "Inasmuch as ye have done unto the least of these, ye have done it unto me." You know, if we can do something to relieve someone else's pain, or if we can do something to help somebody in a natural disaster, you know, Jesus calls us to that. And it was only natural for these distressed virgins to call out for help. You know, our first impulse says they should have helped. Shouldn't have they given of their oil? Let's compare that to two neighbors. They make an investment. They each buy a load of feeder calves. They borrow the money. They raise these. They both take good care of them. The day of the sale comes. They've both done well. They sell their calves. They've got their money to pay off the note. The note comes due shortly after that. You know, the one puts aside that money. He keeps that money. He's ready to pay the note when it's due. The other one, he's uses some of his money for things that he didn't need, for other things. He goes to his neighbor begging for help, but you know his neighbor only has enough kept back to pay that note. Is he obligated by the law of love to help his neighbor that has squandered his money? What it would make so that he couldn't pay off his own note? You know, I believe in this scenario he was not. He would not be obligated because it's not his to give away. He owes it to whoever he loaned it from, whoever loaned it to him. You know, the gifts and the blessings of grace are not transferable. No matter how much the wise longed to help their colleagues, when the real test came, they couldn't help. You know, we can't share our forgiveness of sin with our dearest friend. Jesus says the one shall be taken and the other left. You know, we must be born again, born from above. You know, we can't blame everyone else. We may even have support in it to blame others. But, you know, when the final call comes, it's only by having a real relationship with Christ that we will find ourselves with oil in our vessels. You know, today, the door of opportunity is open. It stands open. It's not always going to be like this. Those five came back expecting that door to be open, that door to open for them. But it was too late. The door was shut. Opportunity was gone. You know, what was standing in their way? You know, why didn't they carry oil in their vessels? There's a lot of things there. Was it things? Was it the things of this life? Was it selfishness and pride? You know, was it bitterness or unforgiveness? You know, Jesus doesn't say, we're not told, but we are told that they were not prepared. They were professing what they were not. You know, they may have looked right and even been doing most things right. You know, we are a blessed people. Opportunity at every door, every corner. You know, what are we doing with these opportunities? But along with these opportunities come all kinds of temptations. Let's focus on the positive, what or who we want to be like, not on who or what we don't want to be like. You know, Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, like that thought that was given to us a while back, that Jesus' school is easy. He says, come unto me, come to my school. The lesson for us is to watch. You know, we can't see the future, but we know that life is a vapor. It's compared to a vapor, something that comes and goes, it's gone. We can't afford to get sidetracked and let ourselves not be found not ready for that great day. In conclusion here, I'd like to read a couple verses out of 1 Thessalonians 4:16, very familiar verses. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with his shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's kneel for prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, we come before Thee again this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Your great love to us. We thank You for the provision that You have made for us. We just thank You for this privilege of coming together and looking into Your Word, and just pray that You might help us to apply it to our lives, to not let anything get in to sidetrack us and to keep us from being furnished and having our vessels full of oil. We just pray that You might bless the remainder of the service here. Bless Brother Rogers. He brings a message to us. Pray that You might give him words to speak. Just help us have open and receptive hearts for what You have for us. We pray for those that can't be here today for sickness or other reasons. We just pray that You might have a blessing on them. Pray that you might grant them strength and that they might feel your presence near. Pray for those in the mission fields and in different places, those in places of danger, we just pray that you might keep your protecting hand over them. And just, Lord, we just want to commit this service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.